And we are back, the Kickback Pod, back once again, and this is episode 81. Shout out to all of the listeners, shout out to Fobs, and this is a very, very exciting episode because we have a very interesting topic. It was definitely inspired by you guys, and for those of you watching us on video, you might be wondering that the camera angle is a bit different this time. It's my bad. I got a different camera, which doesn't go as wide as the previous one, because my other camera battery was dead. So we're using a backup. So the topic of today's episode, like I said, was inspired by you guys. Last week's episode where we talked about, not last week's, last month's episode where we talked about the different rankings right now. What are the hottest brands in the sneaker industry right now? We had Puma at number one. And a lot of you guys left comments saying, there's no way Puma's number one. What are you guys talking about? Inspired kind of the idea behind this episode, but we're gonna get into that a little bit later. First of all, Fobs, man, it's been a while. How you doing, man? How's spring so far?
It's good. I mean, I'm a year older. You're a year older as well. We both had our birthdays. We're both April boys.
Happy belated birthday, yes, to my man.
To you too, bro. I'm good. I'm chilling. I went away for my birthday. I was in Rome. For those of you who follow me, you will have seen all of the food that I ate on that trip.
A lot of gelato.
A lot of gelato and a lot of cheese. Like pasta with cheese. And for those of you who don't know, there are four traditional Roman pastas that you need to have anytime you go to Rome. The first one is carbonara, which I think a lot of us know.
Of course.
Very, very simple, cheese-based, with some guanciale. It's not bacon, it's guanciale. You got to get the guanciale. Then there is cacio e pepe, which is cheese and pepper. Also a classic. Basically a carbonara without the guanciale. Then there's the amatriciana, which is this tomato-based sauce with, again, the guanciale. So good. So good. And then the fourth one is, and I'm going to butcher the pronunciation, but it's a grischia, and it's pretty much a cacio e pepe, except they put seasonal vegetables in it as well.
Ooh, okay.
So the vegetables they put in changes based on the seasons, as the name suggests. And these four pastas are the four traditional Roman pastas that they've basically, that originated there. And they're very, very good. They're very delicious. And I ate all four of them on my trip there. I think I ate pasta 6 or 7 times in 4 days.
Oh, plus, we need a ranking right now.
Ooh, okay. I'll start at number 4, Grischia, just because...
You don't like vegetables.
Too many vegetables. number 3, carbonara.
Okay, controversial.
Number 2, amatriciana, and then number 1, cacio e pepe all the way, man.
I would go carbonara number 1. Okay. You can't beat a good carbonara. But it's true. Round of applause, though. Round of applause for Fobs for dropping some pasta knowledge to start off this episode. I feel like I just had a whole education right now.
Dude, I mean, I didn't know about the fourth one, Grischia, before I went to Rome this time. I've been to Rome 4 or 5 times already. And yeah, man, what can I say? Pasta, love it. I think if you go to Rome, like, sure, you can have pizza here and there, but you got to have the pasta. That would be my recommendation.
Oh, man. Now I need to go ASAP. My parents, I might be seeing my parents in the summer in Rome.
Oh,
they're doing that. I don't know if you know about this whole thing in like Catholicism. Every 25 years, there's like a...
The Jubilee.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly. Yes. Yeah. So that's a huge deal. My parents are like very Catholic. So they're going to Rome for the Jubilee.
Nice.
I was actually in Rome for the last Jubilee in the year 2000.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I was like a little kid and I remember that trip. That was like the best family trip
ever. Is it every 25 years?
It's every 25 years.
I thought it was like every 60 years, but okay.
No, it's every 25 years. So yeah, I might be going to the Jubilee again. Nice. Again later this summer. So I definitely am going to try all four.
I will send you some places to go as well, some restaurants, super nice local places. Ooh, where not so many tourists go.
I've been doing some traveling myself. So for my birthday, I was in the UK, and this time I went to a city I'd never been to before, which was Manchester.
Yes.
Where your boys play.
Yes.
Actually, man.
Manchester Reds, let's go.
I have a funny story about that.
All right, let's hear it.
Oh, my God. So I went to a Man City game.
Yeah, you told me, yeah.
And I'm not a Man City fan. I'm a Spurs fan. But we were in Manchester. There happened to be a Man City game that night, so I went there with my friend. And of course, like, we wanted to kind of get in the spirit, so we got there. We both bought Man City scarves, the blue and white ones, right? And we had amazing seats. The game was incredible. Like, I love the stadium. After the game, we were like, "Yeah, it's still early. Let's go to a bar or whatever." And
I know where this is going.
We got rejected at the first bar. I didn't know why, because it was dead. Like, we could see inside the bar. There was nobody there. But for some reason, the bouncer was like, no, not today, boys. I'm like, oh, bro, there's nobody in this bar. Like, you don't want our money? Like, okay, whatever. So we go to a different bar, and like, we noticed like there was like a group of like, I don't know, four or five people outside. They started giggling. Like,
I know where this is going.
Started giggling as soon as me and my friend Milad, like, as soon as we like walked by, they started giggling at us. And I'm like, what? Why are they laughing at us? And then we walk in, and these two other guys like approach us, and they're like, "Yo, what are you guys doing here?"
and it's the scarves.
Yeah.
It's the scarves.
That's when we finally realized, like, these guys were about to beat us up, man. We were about to get beat up for a team we don't even support.
For scarves that probably cost you guys like 50 pounds.
Yeah, they
well.
Were like, no, they were like 15 pounds. Like, okay. They were cheap scarves, but like, bro, like, this was like a Curb Your Enthusiasm episode, man. Like, we almost got beat up for like a team we don't even support. Like, bro.
It's so good. Yeah, I mean, you guys should have just like ditched the scars after.
It was cold, man. It was freezing. It was windy as hell. It was so windy.
It's so funny. I can just imagine you guys, like, you know, unassuming tourists.
Yeah.
Going to the first bar and being like, "Ah, what? Okay, weird, but we'll try it again."
Bro, that was the funny experience. But really love Manchester, though. Like, it was a lot smaller than I expected. Mm-hmm. Because I guess I've only ever been to London in the UK, so that's what I'm used to. And like, Manchester is quite small, but I really like it. Love the vibe and all the nice bars around there too. And met a lot of people. Like, people are so friendly. People are so friendly at the bars. Like, everyone just talks to you, you know. Like, it was great. It was great. I had a great time. And also in London, went to a West Ham game.
Yes. Who did they play? Wait, who did City play?
City played Leicester.
Okay.
It wasn't the greatest game. The whole point of the trip was we wanted to do a Man City game, and then we wanted to go to a Spurs game. But unfortunately, the Spurs game got postponed to the following day, and we were all leaving that day. So. Yeah. As a consolation prize, we went to the West Ham game. Mm-hmm. And it was great. It was great, like, beautiful stadium and really nice part of the city. So enjoy that as well. Let's get back into this episode, because
let's talk about sneakers.
We can talk about our trips for a long time. So what have you been wearing lately, Fobs?
Man, I've been wearing quite a lot different shoes. I mean, I've got my New Balance 990 V6s on, the gray ones. I'll just pull them off to show to the camera. They are extremely beat up, extremely dirty. It's raining today in Berlin. But yeah, they're my beaters. And you said earlier as well that, you know, the 990 V6s are your beaters too.
Same colorway.
Yeah. You know, classic, super, you know, nice, comfortable walking shoe, I would say. Like we said in the past, one of the best shoes to wear on city trips. Then.
I mean, that's like my walk the dog shoe. Like, yeah. I literally wear it every single day.
Always by the door, slip exactly. them on. Don't even like. Retie them, right?
You just no, I don't retie them, just slip them on. Yeah. So love those.
Yeah. And then I've been wearing my Mizuno Wave Rider Betas as well, which are the kind of updated version of the Wave Rider 10. Super comfortable, a little bit chunkier than I'm used to, but have been a very, very nice shoe. And then funny story with the next shoe that I actually literally wore 2 or 3 days ago in the office. I have it with me here. This Li-Ning running shoe.
Oh, which, that's fire, man.
Yeah, I forget what it's called. I think it's called like Li-Ning Shadow something. Oh, yep. Li-Ning Shadow says right here. And it's basically got this like, you can see on the video, it's got this like hole in the midsole with a carbon plate and this kind of Li-Ning's version of Boost, which is, I mean, when you feel it, it feels exactly like Boost.
It looks like Boost.
I mean, it's a Chinese shoe, so obviously they would find a way to copy it. which is very topical at the moment because I think didn't China say like fuck it, US copyright and patents are no longer being respected?
Yeah, exactly, bro. Yeah. It's crazy, right? The news right now just feels like a sitcom.
Don't even want to dwell too much on that. But basically, these are super super bouncy running shoes. Also, look very futuristic. I like the colorway. It's this like nice powder baby blue colorway. Anyway, I wore this shoe to the office the other day, and so my office is relatively big, open spaces. It's got, I think, like not a marble, but like a stone or concrete floor. And these shoes were squeaking. And I don't know if you've ever worn squeaky shoes.
Yes.
It can become very annoying and also very embarrassing at the office. Every single time that I walked to a meeting room, which was a lot on that day, I had like back-to-back-to-back-to-back meetings. Anytime I went to the bathroom, anytime I went to the kitchen to get myself some water or a drink or whatever, you would hear me coming from like 200 meters away. Just like squeak, 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 squeak. It was so embarrassing that towards the end of the day, I just took my shoes off and I walked around in socks because I know that when I'm not the one with squeaky shoes, but there's somebody with squeaky shoes in the office, I'm always like, I'm not, you know, annoyed or giving them shit, but I'm like, noticing them. And so I know every time I was walking around with these that everybody knew that I was walking somewhere. It got so bad that before I took them off, I was like trying to figure out how to walk in them without squeaking. And I figured out that like if you kind of jog on your tiptoes, they didn't squeak so much.
Oh my God.
So I was like with my laptop and my water, like jogging on my tiptoes through the office before I, you know, figured that this is ridiculous. I might as well just take them off. But yeah, super nice shoe. Just don't wear them anywhere where they could squeak. They were squeaking inside. I took the insoles out, then they were squeaking on the sole.
Yeah, weird, man. Because like typically, I only get that squeaking thing when like I'm wearing like a pretty new pair of shoes.
Yeah,
and I'm walking on like hardwood. Mm-hmm. I'll get that sound. But I mean, like you said, like these aren't. Or were those brand new?
No. I've worn them like maybe two or three times, but like they shouldn't. They shouldn't squeak. I don't know what was going on, man. Maybe it was just the. I don't know, but it was pretty funny. What about you, man? What have you been wearing?
So I've been wearing the Hall Studios ASICS Gel 1130s, the white colorway with, I think it's called the Glacier colorway, the one that comes with these red hiking laces, just a really comfortable pair that I've been rocking all the time recently. And as far as like the pairs that I took with me on my trip to the UK, I just took two pairs. One was the, what were they? The 1906 loafers, the Junior Watanabes.
Yes.
And it was, man, there was this one store I went to where this guy was like, whoa, I've never ever seen someone wear those in public. That's crazy. Of course, he had like a Manchester accent, but I can't do a good Manchester accent. And then I'm like, oh, so we started talking about shoes. I'm like, what's your favorite brand? He's like, I love Jordans. And here, I can prove it to you. And he like lifted his sleeve and he had like the Jordan Wings logo tattooed on his arm.
Damn, that's dedication.
Yeah, that's dedication for sure. So I wore those, the loafers, and I took my Wales Bonner studded pack, which was, it's supposedly one of 750 pairs in the world because there were only 750 pairs made. So I realized I just had that sitting in my locker and I never actually wore it. So I started wearing it a lot more recently. And I really love that pair of really good materials on it.
Nice, man. Yeah, it's sometimes funny how like these shoes that I don't know what the resale prices are on this. Probably decent, but not like anything crazy, right?
Where, I don't think it was crazy, no.
Right? And so sometimes there's these shoes that are such a limited run, like 750 pairs, 1,000 pairs, 200, whatever, that are not so hyped that you would, you know, like let's say there was a Travis Scott that was only 500 pairs worldwide. What would that cost? That would cost like several thousand.
For sure.
Right?
For sure.
So I think it's always like kind of cool that shoes that you have, you're like, oh, you know, these aren't the most expensive, aren't the most hyped ones, but they're only one of 750, which means that you are very unlikely to meet anyone that's wearing them
exactly,
at the same time,
exactly.
Which is also really, really nice. Yeah.
Yeah, no, those, and they're sick, man. Like, they're just a black pair of Sambas. They got the tongue on it, and you switch them up, put the white laces on, and it pops. It's a great shoe.
Nice, man. Let's move on to latest pickups. I actually have one pickup, which I'm sending back. I bought an Oakley backpack, and I've been looking for this, like, you know those, like, sling backpacks that are, like, a triangle and they, like, go over your shoulder?
Yeah, yeah, of course.
So Vustor had a really nice Oakley one that I bought online. But when it arrived, it was too big. It was, like, so it's 12 liters. And I thought, okay, 12 liters, that's, like, a day pack. But it just felt really bulky. It, like, covered my entire back. Like, the strap was too thick. In terms of design and the way they've thought it out, incredible, right? They had like a little phone pocket on the strap so you could put your phone in there if you don't have any pockets. Okay. They had like a FidLock closure system. They had a laptop case inside. Then outside you could open the side and put something else in as well. So it was like really, really cool and modular. It was just too big. So I'm looking for one of those like triangle sling backpacks, but smaller. If any one of you guys, or if you
drop a recommendation, guys,
drop some recommendations, because it's kind of, you know, when you're like, okay, I'm probably going to be out of the house for like 6-7 hours, but you don't want to lug like a big backpack around or whatever, or you don't have like a million pockets. You don't want to have a bum bag, because I don't know, bum bags are kind of annoying as well. I just wanted something on my back that's small, you know, but big enough to carry like more than just a wallet and a phone.
Was that your birthday present?
So this was, I had a 100 euro gift card from my company, so from my team, but not from this year. It was from last year, so I hadn't spent it yet. I was like constantly waiting at VU to see if like something I liked went on sale. Didn't really feel anything too much to spend it on, and then I was like, oh, I saw the Oakley backpack. I was like, I might as well try. And then, of course, with my luck, wasn't really the perfect fit for me, so now I need to send it back. We'll most likely get the gift card back as well, and then try and see if I can find something else on VU.
Okay, got you. Okay, definitely, audience, if you can recommend some bags for fobs, drop a comment there. Some of my latest pickups. So for myself, I picked up the Bape Adidas Superstars, another pair that I think people kind of slept on. I mean, this is a really, really nice pair. And it's done in a clean colorway, which you typically don't see from Bape. They always go with the loud, like, camel prints. This time they went with a simple white, white and black, and it's on an Adidas Superstar Vintage, so it has that age midsole. I really like it. I think it's a super clean pair. I'm going to get a lot of use out of that in the summertime. I also wanted to just try out the Adidas Ballerinas, the new model from Bad Bunny, which I dropped a review on, and I was very, very, very negative about those shoes. Not only do they fit absolutely terribly, they're like, there's no proper sizing for me. I tried like multiple sizes and they suck. They're really, really tight. And, they're also just really uncomfortable because it's too flat. There's no cushioning on them and it looks a little weird on feet. It looks like a pair of socks to me. So I was just not a fan of that shoe at all, but big Bad Bunny fan though, just not a fan of the shoes. Picked up also, thank God Adidas brought these back, the BW Army. You guys know,
ooh, yes.
You guys know the Margiela Gats, the Adidas BW Army, two of my favorite shoes. And Adidas brought back three different colorways. The one I wanted to keep for myself was the olive one. I really, really like those. And I tried to get the BW Army collab with End Clothing, which dropped last week, and which I thought was awesome, by the way. It was like fish and chips themed.
Yes, I saw that. It was super nice.
So nice, the box and everything.
And it does a lot of good like food related, what's it called, collaborations. They did one with, was it Saucony, the End Burgers?
Oh, yeah.
Way back, you know, and then they had like a bunch of other things. Yeah,
really, I think End is one of the best collaborators, actually, especially with Adidas.
Yeah, they've been doing some really nice stuff. Even before the whole like low profile craze was going on, they had some really, really nice colorways, really nice capsule releases as well. Like,
yeah,
a lot of like Adidas Special as well, mm-hmm, with like the apparel to go with it. And kind of flies under the radar a little bit, but really, really nice.
Oh, the End Clothing store in Manchester, by the way. Beautiful.
Oh, yeah. Super
beautiful
nice.
Beautiful store. One of the nicest stores in that whole city.
I mean, End is just generally like super, super
yeah, nice. Yeah, absolutely. I just found out recently they actually are a Newcastle-based store. That's where they started mm-hmm. off.
Yep.
So that's interesting. I really wanted those Adidas End collab, but I failed on the raffle. Anyone want to sell me a US 10.5 or a US 11? Hit me up in the DMs. And then for my birthday present, my wife got me a very fancy coffee grinder.
Nice.
Yeah, one of those, like, I don't know how much you paid for them, but it's I've just been nerding out about coffee. What's the right grind setting, how to make the coffee more acidic, how to make it more like I don't know, full bodied or whatever. I've been trying different beans. I've this whole week, man, I've been getting all these other accessories too to like really nerd out about coffee.
Do you have like a scale?
No, I don't have the scale yet, but the scale's on the way. Nice. I bought a distributor. I don't know if you've seen one of those. No, it's like it's like a little comb that like you after you grind the coffee, you like kind of like just distribute it.
And then you press it?
Then you press it, yeah. Oh, so it doesn't get so clumpy.
All right.
So yeah. So I've been just nerding out about coffee, man. So that's been the pickup I've been the most excited about. Shout out to my wife for that one.
Very nice.
All right, so let's move into our big topic. So this was, like I said, inspired by a lot of the feedback from you guys last week. It made me realize, Fobs, that both you and I, we are pretty unique, I would say, in this space, in this, let's say, sneaker space, because both of us have a background of, we've both lived in North America for a while. We lived in Europe for a long time. You've also lived in Asia for a bit. I've lived in Toronto, you lived in New York, and I think like both of us bring a pretty global perspective to this show, and I think that's really like the power of this show, really, compared to a lot of other sneaker podcasts out there, which I feel are very like North American focused. And I kind of wanted to use this topic to really talk about the differences between at least the ones that we've noticed between like US sneaker culture and European sneaker culture, you know, whether that be like cultural differences, what brands are the most popular, you know, we're going to get into all that. For all of you guys who are commenting last week that our rankings made no sense, you gotta like just keep in mind that, of course, like both of us have a different perspective that we bring to this. And typically, you know, it doesn't matter what kind of genre of podcast I'm listening to, I'll try to listen to like several different perspectives, like whether it's like politics, I'll listen to like, which I listen to a lot, I listen to, you know, left wing, right wing, whether it's like business, I listen to people who are like bullish on the market, who are like bearish on the market too. So I try to get like a perspective from all angles and then form my own kind of opinion. So that's what I think like this podcast for you guys listening, I think it's like a great like alternative view on sneakers that I think like you don't get in some of the other podcasts, at least that's my opinion. So shout out to all of you once again who listened to the pod and gave us a lot of great feedback on last week's video pod. You guys seem to absolutely love the format, and a lot of comments said, oh, this is so awesome, we can see the shoes that you guys are talking about. And I'm like, yeah, that kind of makes sense. We should have thought of that earlier.
Yeah, oh. I mean, I had a lot of friends as well used to message me and be like, yeah, yo, like this one shoe that you were talking about, like which one did you mean again?
Send
them the link and stuff like
exactly.
that.
Exactly. So now we can put the pictures up. Yes. Wait, I just realized, before we even get into the topic, I have a pickup here that I totally Ooh. Forgot to talk about.
Let's look at it.
That is the SB4s, Ooh. The Jordan 4 SB. This is actually, you know, a pretty simple colorway, just white, black, blue. And it took Nike SB like 2 years basically to give us a follow up on the pine greens. And it's kind of weird though, like watching the reaction on the shoe, like people aren't so hot on it.
Really?
Yeah, no, that's what I'm seeing. I mean, even if you look at resale prices, the shoe is pretty much going for retail. Not that determines everything.
Yeah.
But I was kind of surprised to see that this shoe here, you can have a look as well. I was just kind of surprised to see that people seem to be more so kind of down on the shoe compared to before. And when I'm looking at it, just objectively speaking, there's really not a whole lot of differences between this shoe and the pine green. I mean, it's just an alternative colorway to me. Of course, there's some material differences. I think the leather on it is maybe not as good as the pine greens. But in terms of like overall looks, like it's a pretty identical looking shoe. It's still got the gum bottoms. And it was just much more widely available. So my thinking is people just didn't like the fact that these were so easily available.
Now, and you know what it might have been as well? Like, you know, when the pine greens dropped, green was kind of the dominant color mm-hmm. in all pop culture, lifestyle areas. Like people were like, you know, doing a lot of green in interior design,
yeah,
wearing a lot of green in fashion outside of sneakers. Just green was just such a insanely popular color. And I think blue is a little bit less so. So it's probably a mix of like, it's been 2 years since they released them. People might have like moved on a little bit, although I do think that there was quite a lot of hype when the announcement was made that they're bringing out another colorway. And then, like you said, super widely available, so a lot of people were able to get them, which then, of course, naturally turns off a lot of hype-beasty people who only want something because it's super limited. And then maybe, yeah, the color as well. Although, looking at it in hand, man, it's a super nice shoe, super well combinable with whatever you wear.
Yeah, exactly. So very, very, very clean pair. Pickup. All right, so going back into our big topic, differences between U.S. and EU sneakerheads. So we've broken this down into different aspects, and I guess we can first start off with maybe the easiest one, which is what are typically the most popular brands worn by American customers compared to EU?
Yeah, I mean, I can kick it off also by saying that we're obviously generalizing a little bit here, right?
Every time
that we talk about this, there's always anomalies or sneakerheads that do not conform to what we're talking about in both the EU, Europe, or the US. But I think in general, you can kind of, if you're taking a bird's eye view, you can kind of see some patterns, right? Mm-hmm. On either side of the Atlantic. Just had to think there whether it was the Pacific or the Atlantic. it's the Atlantic, confirmed. None. I think so. In the U.S., like, the obvious ones are Jordan brand, right? You're going to see a lot more Jordans than you do here. You do see quite a lot of Jordans here, I would say, especially Jordan 1s, Jordan 4s. Mm-hmm. But I think there you're going to see a much wider breadth of Jordans. You're going to see Jordan 11s. You're going to see 12s, 13s.
3s. I think you see a lot more 3s there.
A lot
than
of
here.
3s, exactly. You do not see a lot of 3s here. No. What else? Yeah, like 6s, 7s, you'll probably see quite a lot more of, especially in the bigger, like, metro cities like New York, Atlanta, Chicago, etc. Nike is obviously another one that's super popular in the U.S. just because it's from there.
Of course.
There, it really depends on where you are as to what kind of Nikes they're wearing, but you'll see, you know, like, a lot of Huaraches, a lot of Nike Air Force Ones, etc., which you do see in Europe as well. But I think the difference is the types of Nikes you see there, right? Like the Flightposites, the Foamposites, all that like 80s, 90s basketball era kind of stuff, the retro basketball things that you don't necessarily see here, unless, of course, it's somebody who's like really into that era, right? Maybe some of the older heads in Europe who also grew up around that time, who really wanted those shoes when they were kids and maybe couldn't get them because they were too expensive here or just not available in Europe at the time. And then, yeah, go ahead.
Like, yeah, you know, within Nike, right? Like, you remember, like, obviously right now the Vomero 5s are very popular. But you remember a few years ago when, maybe like 4 or 5 years ago, when Nike also brought back the Vomero 5s and they had, there was those like Volt green colorway and the blue one as well. Yeah. And there was also the regular white and black. Those were selling out here. And everyone, I noticed like those shoes were all over the city, but they didn't really make a big splash in the U.S.
Yeah,
as true. They did. So like that's an example where like maybe more so, and we'll get into that a bit later, but like, more so like the running style Nikes are quite popular here rather than the more basketball ones. Exactly. Like the Air Force Ones are a lot more popular over there.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Yeah, I mean, runners kind of dominate here. You know, they are and have had popular phases in the U.S., but that's a really good point. And then obviously another one is a homegrown brand, New Balance. You see probably quite a lot of New Balance in the U.S., maybe more like East Coasty. You'll see maybe on the West Coast, one brand that I left off the list here on our notes is Vans as well.
Oh, hell yeah. West Coast brand for sure.
You will see a lot of Vans on the West Coast, specifically in California, obviously among the skate and surfer subcultures. And then in Europe, I mean, as we just said, you'll see a lot of Nike here, but it'll be different kinds of Nikes. And then you will see a lot more Adidas than you see there, right? Ignoring the whole Samba low-profile hype, you will see Adidas ZX, Adidas equipment. You will see a lot wider breadth of Adidas shoes and silhouettes here. And then Puma and ASICS are also two brands. Puma, you'll see, I mean, you see a lot of everywhere, especially in social media, just because they're so hyped. But you see a lot of Puma here before this year or even last year. And the fact that this episode was spawned from a comment from one of our listeners saying, yo, Josh, like, how can Puma be number one? Just shows that even though it's hyped, even though it's like all over at least our feeds on social media, doesn't mean that it's all over the US yet, right? So that's something that is definitely a big difference. And then ASICS, sure, Ronnie Fieg has his collaborations with ASICS, and they are very popular and, you know, usually sell out also in the US, but you're not really going to see a lot of Kiko Kostadinov there. You're not going to see any of the other collaborations that we're talking about, the Hall Studios, etc. Those are very, very Europe-focused, I would say.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Yeah. I think a few episodes back when we talked about like best collaborators too, we both had Kiko in our top five. And there were quite a few comments too, similar comments in that episode saying, you guys don't know what you're talking about, like Kiko. Like, what do you mean Kiko in the top five?
Bro, but, put some respect on his name. That dude is goated.
Yeah, yeah, no, absolutely. But yeah, like those kind of sneakers, those a lot of ASICS model, I feel like were quite popular here before like the current trend of even like people in the US wearing these like Y2K style running shoes. They're doing pretty well over there as well. But yeah, I mean, Puma, you mentioned, Reebok, even like I feel, it has a lot to do with maybe football culture as well. Like those brands are kind of
terrace
culture. Exactly. Those brands are quite big into from the terrace culture. So that kind of, you know, spread over Europe as well, which leads to their popularity. But yeah, I mean, Jordan brand, for sure, I would say is number one by far in the U.S. in terms at least among sneakerheads.
I mean, Jordan brand is. You just have to look at StockX data, right? See that Jordan brand is always one of their biggest movers, whether it's, you know, above retail, at retail, or below retail. And if you walk into stores as well here versus there, I think you're going to see more Jordan models and colorways in the U.S. than you will on the shelves here, in the sense that like they're being pushed there more because they sell better, right? And then the hype models sell out there a lot quicker than they do here. I remember your anecdote about the shoes that were selling out here and not in the US. It was the same thing, just the other way around, where I think it was like 2017, 2018, 2019, like pre-COVID, when I was working at Highsnobiety, and they were starting to release the black cements, the white cement threes, etc. Like they were sitting here. They were sitting here, and all of the people that I was in contact with through work, all the people that were working at Highsnobiety New York office, were like, "Yo, Fobs, like, can you run a Foot Locker and get me like two or three pairs and send them over, man?" And like they were like, they couldn't get their hands on them in the U.S. Even though it wasn't a hyped release, it was a very general release, but they were still flying off shelves.
Exactly.
Here they were just sitting. Of course, few years later, it was a little bit more difficult to get them in Europe as well, but it's always much more US dominant with the Jordan brand.
Absolutely. That's without a doubt. You can even make the argument that Jordan brand kind of kick started, you know, sneaker culture, at least in the US for sure. And it's the most popular brand for a reason, but I definitely love Jordan brand. But you already made the point about how there's certain models you see here, but most models like threes, 11s,
even
especially
eights, like you'll see eights in the US, not like all the time, but you'll see eights. When do you ever see a Jordan 8 here?
Never. I don't even think I've seen one like on the shelf.
That's the thing.
I mean, those are the differences in brands. We wanted to get into also some of the cultural differences, and I'll kick us off here. So first of all, is like the observation that I've made here is with what I'd like to say, like hype versus heritage. So like in the US, I feel like, especially nowadays, a lot of sneakerheads are kind of driven by this hype culture. So like how limited the drop is it a collab? Is it, what's the resale value looking like? And it's almost like collecting these rare pairs is kind of like the flex, right? Like that's kind of like what's driving the purchasing decisions over there. Whereas I feel like in Europe, it's a bit different. Of course, there's a bit of hype here as well. But I feel like there's a much more like of an appreciation for like heritage, the history of the design. And a lot of brands, like, for example, New Balance, have become quite popular here in the last several years because people really appreciate that they're getting their money's worth. You know, there's a lot about the quality of the sneakers. I even feel like that's part of the reason why Nike and Jordan brand are not as big here, is because, especially Jordan brand, because people are like, I'm not going to spend 190 euros for this Jordan 1 that is really, you know, shitty quality, let's be honest, compared to other shoes for that price. And you'll see other brands too, like Mizuno, Diodora, like these kind of brands, which typically have pretty decent quality. They're quite popular here and people wear them, and they're kind of almost unheard of in the US.
True.
I feel like just hype culture is not as prevalent here as the US.
Yeah, I mean, you said like there is definitely some hype culture here, but let's not forget sneaker culture originated in the US, right?
Oh, for
the,
sure.
The way that we know it, modern day sneaker culture, 100% comes from the US, and in big parts, although we'll talk about this a little bit later as well, is driven by the US, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Driven by US brands, US market, US consumer behavior. That being said, I think if you zoom in a little bit on both sides of the pond, you will see that there is some, I mean, we're not saying there's no heritage in the US, right?
No, absolutely like, not.
With like retro basketball sneakers, as we were talking about before, Foamposites, whatever, like pennies, when the pennies came out, like that's US heritage. And that's where people are like getting excited about that kind of heritage. Whereas here it's like that Reebok, that Diadora, Adidas ZX, etc. That's the heritage here. Fila even, stuff mm-hmm. like that. And then there's hype here, but I would say that it is much, much bigger in the US. And then you look at like, without getting too like into culture and all that kind of stuff, but like US culture outside of sneakers is also very much hype based, right? Like look at Coachella. Coachella is a festival that's it's so consumerism focused, Burning Man, right? Like all these things that started as like these niche kind of artistic things have now been blown up into these mega like billboards for buy cool shit, right? What does Travis Scott have to do with football and the Total 90, and why are they doing some weird shit at Coachella? You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, no, of course.
You know, and again, we are generalizing here. Not all of them, not all of you, but like a lot of American sneakerheads eat that shit up, right? Like, look how mm-hmm. like hype they were. And I mean, I'm not gonna lie. Like, let's say, I mean, I'm not necessarily a huge Travis Scott fan, right? But like, if somebody at that level that I'm like super into were to show up at an event that I was going to, yeah, probably I'd be super excited as well, even if it wasn't completely related to the event that I was going to. My point is that, yeah, it makes sense that hype is much, much bigger in the US just because the US is much, much bigger, and that's just kind of like the way a lot of things, even outside of sneaker culture, are set up. But yeah, that's a really good comparison, hype versus heritage. I think the second one is actually kind of a funnier, more niche one.
So yeah. This is just something that I had to bring this up because I get this comment all the time in my videos, especially when I do the on-feed part of the video. I get people commenting saying, yo, why are your shoes so choked up? Why do you tie your shoes like that?
Let them ankles breathe, son.
Yeah, let them breathe. And for me, this is such a like American versus European thing. Like, especially with Jordans, like people in America like to wear their shoes untied. And they, you know, like they spread out the laces a bit more, and it gives it kind of like almost like a skateboarding type of look to me, at least. And you don't see that here at all. Like here, I've seen people in Jordans, they tie their laces, right? Like I tie my laces. I don't think of it as like I'm choking up my shoes. I'm like, they're laces. They're supposed to be tied.
Also, it's just more comfortable. Like I don't want my feet slipping around. Or are people in the US wearing shoes half a size too small?
I'm always concerned. Yeah, I'm like, are you guys buying these shoes a half size down? Because like, how are you keeping them on while leaving them untied?
Right?
I'm kind of concerned they're going to like fall over or trip or something. Like,
what if you have to run, man? Like, you know, there can be like situations where you like, oh shit, I need to run and get the bus. Or like, oh shit, here come the cops. Or, you know what I mean?
Here come the cops. Yeah, man, exactly. Like, the tied versus untied laces. Like, we got to talk about that, man. That's a thing.
That is a thing. I think with Jordans, it's definitely like skews more to the US with the untied laces. I will say that. And it's not so much anymore, but like back in the 2010s, there was a lot of like untied runners, like Asics, New Balance in Europe as well, where, you know, people love to have like, and this is also, I mean, it was driven by the US with Ronnie Figer, but like the rope laces, people would like leave the rope laces untied because they were a little bit more, they had more friction. So like, it meant that your laces wouldn't be flopping around everywhere and stuff like that. So there was a little bit of like untied kind of thing in Europe as well. Something similar that I just thought of now is like the pin roll versus no pin roll.
The like, denim pin roll?
Yeah. Like I feel like pin roll is much more European.
Absolutely.
And then like it's always been like boot cut kind of flowing over your jeans, unless, you know, like wearing skinny jeans was kind of hot with basketball shoes back in the day as well in the US. But that it's similar to the whole tied versus untied. You got the pin roll in Europe versus like generally no pin roll in the US.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Yeah. So that's just one funny observation. Also another one, when it comes to sneaker culture, I feel like in Europe, a lot of the sneaker culture is driven by football. It's driven by even the techno scene. Like for example, in the 90s, Air Max 97s, for example, really big in the Italian techno scene.
Yep.
And that's how they got really big, right?
Air Max 180s.
Air Max 180,
like,
exactly.
A lot of these like runners and like VizTech shoes that came out in like colorful colorways. Huge in the rave scene.
That's where like the sneaker culture influences come from in Europe, I feel. And in the US, I feel like a lot of it comes from hip hop culture.
Yeah.
A lot of it is like intertwined with streetwear culture and also basketball. Those are where sneakerheads get most of their inspo from, right? I'm a huge hip hop fan, and like I remember, you know, when Air Force Ones, that song by Nelly came out, right? Like everyone wanted the Air Force Ones back then. That was such a time for Air Force Ones, actually. And like hip hop culture, and like even taking it further back, you know, like 90s with Adidas when Run DMC was making those songs, yep. Right? So I feel like that's where the main influences come from.
Yeah, true. I think it. You see it here as well. Like a lot of the people in the scene in Berlin generally come or are interested in rave culture, right? Mm-hmm. And like Gabba style, like the Air Max 180s, you got the Overkill Boys.
Yeah.
And it makes sense. I mean, you know, the two countries are like, Europe is not a country, but, you know, for the sake of the argument, Europe versus the US, like they're just culturally very different. They were into different things at different times. Hip hop was born in the US. Hip hop is black culture, right? And Europe, you know, is getting better, but Europe was always very white, is still very white. And so obviously it goes into the more like electric music, clubbing, raving, those parties were just much more prevalent in Europe. I mean, sure, you have like a bit of a scene in Detroit as well, which is kind of where people say the modern day techno was also kind of born, but it was much more adopted in Europe. And that makes sense that then is where you were going, where you were seen, where you dressed up for. You wanted to be A, wearing comfortable shoes, but B, also wearing cool, colorful shoes that people noticed you in, right? Because it was about being seen, seeing things, blah, blah, blah. And it was the same in the US, hip hop concerts, the big players in the hip hop industry wanting to wear what they were wearing, etc. Makes sense.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Looking at one more cultural difference, and this is not really a difference. This is just about sneaker trends and where they originate. It seems like some trends originate in the US, some originate in the EU. In the last few years, I would say the trend of like low profile shoes with the Sambas and all that, they were really getting popping off here before it started moving to the States. Similarly with even the runners, the Y2K runners, right? Like I feel like, last 4 or 5 years, they've been so crazy over here. And we've seen that in the States as well. But at the same time, a lot of sneaker trends start over there too. You had mentioned earlier, the Dunks, right? The Dunks definitely was a crossover from the US to Europe, right? Everyone here was wearing Dunks for a good 2 years. And similarly with Jordan 1s, also like Jordan 1s from like 2017 to 2021, I would say another crossover. So it's different trends start in the two places, but then they eventually go across the pond.
Yeah, for sure. I'd say like the two biggest trends over the last few years definitely came from the EU, right? The low profile, like the Sambas, now the Puma Speedcat.
Pumas. Yeah, you guys are making fun of us for saying Puma number one. Wait till everyone around you is wearing Pumas,
dude. In 6 months, 6 to 9 months, especially now in the summer, all the girls that you guys are trying to be like, you know, hooking up with are gonna be
exactly.
That's big fact.
If you want to get ahead of the curve, guys, those of you listening, buy a girl some Pumas. Those of you in the States.
but it is interesting as well how these things develop and kind of swing back and forth a little bit. I feel like we could do an entire episode on this topic because you could dive into like non-sneaker fashion, right? And I feel like street culture and street fashion very much, I mean, it originates everywhere, but like we said, a lot of it is tied to black culture, which comes from the US. Mm-hmm. And then in Europe, you've got that like organized fashion, right? The fashion weeks, you know, haute couture, women's, men's, Paris, mm-hmm. London's not big, but like Milan, etc., right? Yep. Like those are like the big fashion weeks where now like a lot more brands are showing and where a lot of trends, sneaker and otherwise, mm-hmm. originate and start, right? So it's a bit like it's a bit of a balance, I think. Like the chunky sneaker trend, you could argue, started on the runways, which then technically would have come from Europe too, right?
Yeah.
And by chunky sneakers, I mean like those chunky, like triple S, like luxury sneakers.
I feel like not enough credit gets given to Kanye for that trend. I feel like the Yeezy 700 V1 was really like the first out of nowhere super chunky sneaker that came, at least in the sneaker world at the time. I mean, of course, like New Balance was always around, but I'm talking about like mainstream, like that I feel like that needs to be given credit as the originator of the chunky shoe trend.
I would say Triple S. I don't know. We have to Google what came
maybe,
first.
Yeah, maybe the Triple S came first. I gotta check that.
I would
too.
Say the Triple S, but like if you're talking like in terms of sportswear stuff, sportswear adoption, then yeah, maybe the 700 V1 was one of the first. I would say it's also not so chunky that a lot of people wouldn't really consider it a super chunky shoe. You know what I mean? Like it's on the border of like you could call it chunky, but you could also say it's like, you know, maybe not like the crazy triple S type chunky shoe. Like it's not like what are they called, the 2000 skate shoes? I keep forgetting this.
Osiris
D3, Osiris, right? It's not like an Osiris D3 level of chunk, but it is definitely like on the more chunky side, especially when comparing it to like running shoes like this. Nah, but yeah, I think it's not a difference. It's just the pendulum swings back and forth between Europe and the US based on like pop culture, zeitgeist, all that kind of stuff. And at the moment, I think a lot of the tone has been set by Europe.
Mm-hmm.
But if Nike does get its shit together and starts pumping out shoes that, you know, people like, maybe the pendulum will switch back to the US and we'll see something there.
Yeah, for sure. We talked earlier about like brands that were popular in either zone. What about brands that are popular only in Europe and brands that are popular only in the US that you won't see on the other side?
Yeah, so I think doing this for Europe is a lot easier.
Yeah.
Like we've talked about it before, Salomon, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Sure, they're getting a little bit more popular in the US, and I've been seeing a lot of like TikToks about girls or women saying like, "Oh, like these are going to be the most popular shoe of the summer, blah blah blah." And I think it's a lot of like American-centric creators that are posting that. And I'm sitting there thinking like, man, these have been super popular in Europe since 2017, right?
Like
almost 10 years. Which is wild. And again, this reminds you that sometimes we're living in our bubble. We're living in our bubble on social media as well. And then when this other stuff trickles in, you're kind of like, whoa, wait a second. People haven't been feeling these for almost a decade, you know? So Salomon's for sure. Veja, which is that like vegan, I think it's Spanish.
They're French.
French brand. You see them everywhere. And I would say these are like not the coolest sneakers, but they're very mainstream, right? Like I think 8 out of 10 girls in Berlin have them.
Yeah, I'm a fan of that brand. They make all of the sneakers are eco-friendly. They're made in Brazil, I believe.
Eco-friendly just means plastic.
No, I mean, okay, I did a bit of research into them. Like they seem to be like, you know, like they're making all their shoes in Brazil, and They have hand selected some manufacturers there from what I heard. Okay, like I watched a video about.
I think it's all a bit of greenwashing, because I actually did a not about Veja, but I did a piece about like how sustainable can a sneaker be when I worked for Hyson Abadi, and I talked to a lot of people in the industry that had moved out of the industry and so could talk a little bit more openly, and they basically said like anytime a brand is advertising shoes as like vegan or like leather free or whatever, unless they're specifically saying like, yo, this is like mushroom leather or whatever, or pineapple leather, which are two technologies that are being used more and more, 90% of the time it just means that they're using more plastic, which then is not more sustainable. Because, and I know I'm going on tangent here, but I think this is a really good point. So the leather that's used in shoemaking is a byproduct from the food industry. So
yes,
technically, they are using scraps, right? The leather is scraps or byproducts. So they're not necessarily killing animals to make shoes. They're killing animals for food, and the byproduct is being used to make shoes or other items, right? Clothing, etc. So I'm not saying leather is like super sustainable and great and we should all wear leather, but there is an argument to be made that leather shoes are actually more sustainable than non-leather shoes because you're not tearing down forests to build a mushroom plantation, etc. Right? Which was kind of eye-opening when I wrote this piece. Anyway, again, we've gone on a tangent. Veja's one. Hoka another.
Absolutely.
And then On.
Yeah, On is starting to, I guess they're trying to be popular over there. They hired Zendaya right? Yeah. On was popular in pockets of the U.S. And by pockets, I mean retired community of Florida. Like they were, it was really, really the brand of Florida. But On has been popular here for a while, at least in Germany. Like that's something I noticed when I got off the plane, bro, I landed in Germany.
Like Germany, Austria, Switzerland, like that market, they have it on lock at the moment. Yeah. But I will say they are also still very much popular among the older crowd. Like if you're looking at people's feet in Berlin and you see Ons, 8 out of 10 times, it'll be an older couple that's like, tour doing like a city trip or something because they are super comfortable. You can wear them all day.
Yeah.
They are also quite expensive. Most of their shoes are at above 160, right? Some of them even 180, 200, 220. And so not everybody can afford to buy these shoes or afford to buy several of these shoes, right? So I find it funny because On the way it presents itself a lot of times, at least in our circles, very fashion forward, very cool, Zendaya, etc. They're sponsoring this like tennis dude, the U.S. guy. What's his name?
I don't know the name.
Like the U.S. Nadal, because he's always got like sleeveless shirts on and stuff. Like they're cool. They're doing a lot of stuff to be cool. They've got collaborations with Loewe, with Post Archive Fashion, Function, whatever faction, and they're doing really cool stuff. But like I would say, 95% of their business comes from the straight mainstream, and I have a feeling that they're really like they wish. Most of their target audience was this cool person, right? The cool person that's like, you know, like you, right? Like chilling at a cafe in Berlin, like go shopping a little bit, then does a vlog, etc. Like they wish that you were their core target customer.
Yeah.
But their core target customer, if we're being super honest, is like 65-year-old, 70-year-old.
That's the fact. I mean, that's absolutely the fact. I like On, but even like I do like that Post Archive Faction pair. But I try to fit it in with like the type of clothes I wear, and I don't know, man. I can't really pull that off.
Yeah, it's either you have to be like super like Birkin techno, like into that kind of shit, or you're just like an elderly couple on vacation.
Yes,
you know what I mean. There's no in between.
What about in the U.S.? Are there any brands there?
I really tried to think about this, and like Timberland is one that comes to mind, but it's not really a sneaker brand, right?
But I mean, even though, yes, people wear Tim's here, but not even like a tenth as much as the U.S.
Yeah,
like,
right?
Like sneakers, yeah, for sure. Timberland, I think, is a great example. What's that brand that makes the boat shoes?
Sperry's?
Sabago? Sabago, yeah.
Sabago, Sperry's is another
Sperry's,
one.
Yeah, makes, Sperry's, boat shoes. These aren't sneakers, though, but
that's the thing, right? I would say there's... You know, heritage brands like Pony, product of New York, which you probably only really see in the U.S.
What about like Collegium?
Yeah.
Collegium, I don't even think they sell their stuff in Europe.
But, I don't know.
But maybe that's too like niche though.
Yeah, it's a little bit difficult. Like I put down Under Armour, but it's like how many Under Armour shoes do you really see in the U.S.? You probably see actually in the mainstream, not in the niche, but like in the mainstream, you probably see quite a lot of Under Armour running shoes. Mm-hmm.
I mean the basketball shoes, you see the Curries.
Yeah, true. But yeah, it's a lot harder to come up with like brands that are much more US centric because I feel like most popular US brands are also popular here.
Yes.
Whereas some popular shoes here are not popular there. Like you said, Diadora, you're not gonna see a lot of Fila's, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, right.
Mizuno.
Yeah, as I tried coming up with brands too. I was everything I thought of was just non-sneaker related.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Okay. So you wrote in our notes here a fun challenge, which is build an outfit.
Yeah. So I tried to go super meme starter pack, right? And build an outfit for the stereotypical US based sneakerhead and for the stereotypical European sneakerhead. And I'm probably going to get slaughtered for this. So this is all in good fun, right? Like this, the whole point of this is to be...
I'm going to try to put the outfit together too, like right here somewhere.
Yeah, just like on the screen. All right. So let's start with the European one because that's a little bit easier, right? Okay. So you've got all right, I'm going to start from the top. You've got CP Company overshirt, right? Like with the little goggles on the side.
Oh,
all
yeah.
All good.
Yeah.
Like plain white flex. T-shirt
that's
underneath.
A flex. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Then here comes in the pin roll Japanese denim, maybe from like a brand like Edwin or something like that. Uh-huh. Yeah, you got some like nice selvedge Japanese denim. And then you're wearing that with no-show socks, obviously, right?
Oh.
No-show
see,
socks.
See, we didn't talk about socks enough on this
true,
episode.
True, true, true.
Because that's a huge difference between the two countries, man.
Yeah.
Like in the US, it's all about like the big socks with the big logos.
Yeah,
with
true,
the big
true,
logos,
true.
Right? Like here, I mean, like people love no-show socks here.
I mean, hey.
You are a prime example.
I'm a prime example of the no-show sock love. So, yeah, so this stereotypical European sneakerhead has no-show socks on with a pin-rolled Japanese denim jeans, right? So you get that little, you know, that little sexy bit of skin on the
ankle. Oh, yeah. For that ventilation, man, for the breeze.
Exactly. And then he's wearing either a pair of Gel Cayano 14s, could be a Kith collab, but it could also be a Generalis, or a pair of Jound New Balance 990s, all right? So that's what he's wearing.
Yeah, I have seen this exact like template that you've set up here. I've seen this template many times. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, now moving on to the US. I found it really hard to put this one together because there's so many possibilities, right? Like I could have gone like full meme mode and been like, okay, he's wearing Nike slides, Nike crew socks, basketball shorts, and a graphic tee, right? Yeah. But I think that'd be being a little bit too facetious. So, no, okay. This is me looking at like a stereotypical, relatively stylish American sneakerhead, right?
Okay.
So you got the Yeezy Gap hoodie, right?
Wait, are we starting off with the hoodie?
Yeah.
Because you're missing the fitted hat.
The fitted, fitted.
You need the fitted.
Yankees, New York Yankees.
Yeah, it's always Yankees.
Sorry. Okay. Starting with a hat.
Yeah.
The European didn't have a hat on. And if he did, it would be more of like a running cap, like five-panel running cap.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay? So the U.S., the American sneakerhead is wearing a fitted cap, preferably the Yankees. But, you know, if he's a Celtics fan, Red Sox fan, whatever, you can wear something else. He's wearing the Yeezy Gap hoodie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. With like a relatively baggy t-shirt underneath. So you see that like... You know, that like little
strip of like t-shirt
of
at the
white
bottom.
T-shirt at the bottom.
I feel you.
And then for the pants, I was debating between like baggy, just like nondescript kind of jeans or some like parachute pants, like cargo, like baggy cargo pants, I would say I would go with here. And then I put like CDG foam posits just because it's like a little bit, you know.
I don't think so, man. No? CDG foams, I feel like not really US. I feel like that's more.
Yeah.
That's a bit more EU.
Yeah.
I would say a pair of Jordan 4s would go good.
Jordan
with this.
4s, yeah, true. Or like one of those like late 80s flight posit kind of, you know, like maybe the shoes that Wale was wearing recently.
Okay. Okay.
Just something retro basketball.
We're talking like a more fashion forward type of outfit here, right?
Yeah.
Because I mean, if we're doing like standard outfits, I feel like this is like the perfect outfit to just pair with a pair of Jordan 1s or 4s.
Yeah, true.
To match the hat. It has to match the hat.
Or just a pair of crisp Air Force 1s.
Oh, yeah. There you go. That's your classic US template right there.
Okay, that's the classic template. I hope I didn't offend anybody with these. Because honestly, I could see myself wearing the CP Company overshirt and some, you know, denim.
I mean, definitely the no-show socks.
I'm wearing show socks today, but only because my jeans are baggy enough to go over my... anytime I'm wearing pants where you might see my socks, I prefer not to wear socks. Doesn't matter if we're like in the middle of winter, like that's just my
This guy's ankles. It's an
ick. It's an ick that I have. Actually, okay, at this point, I just need to tell you about this ick because I've been like, so one of my latest icks that I've unlocked is it has nothing to do with sneakers, right? Dudes who ride mountain bikes with biking gloves on in the city. I was riding behind this one dude who was wearing biking gloves, and it was like a mountain bike. And I was just like, man, that is so uncool. I don't know. It's just like, I don't know. Maybe I'm offending people again with my take here. Maybe this whole episode is just me offending people, but I cannot stand people who wear biking gloves on their bike. It's...
Oh, man. I can't say I've seen any of those. But, I mean, you bike a lot more than me.
Yeah, so. I mean, I only bike to work and
that's
back.
True,
and
that's
whatever,
true,
yeah.
That's true.
I biked here to the studio. So, that yeah, I saw that recently. I was just like, ah, man. Like, ooh. Ah, like it.
And maybe they're on their way to, like, the dirt, you know?
On their way to the dirt. Nah, dude, I think this dude was just cruising around Berlin. But yeah, man, I mean, you guys can tell us some of your icks, sneaker related. Otherwise, in the comments, that is one of my latest unlocked icks.
I can confirm, knowing Fobs for so many years, he has the most well ventilated ankles in the city.
Maybe that's somebody's ick, like no show socks. They're like, ah, Fobs, man, like you're a great guy, but those socks, those ankles, those ashy ankles, please put them away.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. So yeah, that was a little rundown of our EU versus America battle, sneaker battle. Leave us some comments. Let us know some of the observations you guys have made. I would love, love, love to hear. And keep it lighthearted, guys. We're not like too serious over here. But yeah, thank you guys for inspiring this episode. We're almost at the end of April, man. Like this year is just flying by.
Dude, I mean, yeah, Q1 is over. Q2 is one third of the way done.
Yeah.
It's almost summer. Like I'm hoping that the weather gets a little bit better. We've had some nice days, yeah. I'm still waiting for that like 1 or 2 weeks in a row of just pure sunshine,
yeah, man.
Because that's when Berlin comes to life, and
I can't wait. Wishing you guys a good spring and a good summer,
Easter too, yeah, to happy all Easter. Of you that celebrate, yeah,
for sure.
Go find those Easter eggs and chocolate. I don't know if is that a German. That's a very German thing, right?
Like no, that's a big American thing too. I was doing that as a kid for sure. Yeah.
Okay. Well,
The egg hunting in your house, right? Like yes. Your parents hide the eggs and all that.
Hide the eggs, and also you get like in Germany at least you get like one or two like small presents, right? Like,
oh, you get okay. That's different. We didn't get presents.
Okay. I think it is bigger in Europe because in in Rome, every single grocery store was selling these massive chocolate eggs that like had like big toys in them, like straight up, like you could get like a Transformer or like some really cool stuff.
Wild.
Or like a monster truck or whatever for kids, obviously. So I think the Italians, they take it a little bit more seriously, but they're also a little bit more religious than the Germans.
Yeah, no, for sure, for sure. But yeah, wishing you guys a happy Easter. Thank you so much for listening in to yet another episode. And we'll catch you in the next one. Peace, guys.
Peace.